prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. We're going to start out with the episode of Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. Then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about some research that questions whether or not soda companies are influencing the messages promoted by health organizations where they have an influence. It's going to be a really interesting discussion that was published by Boston University. So that's a little bit later in the show. But without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
How you doing, Dr. J?
Doing good. How about you, Carl?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And this is a really good topic that you have today, because from time to time, many of us, if you're training hard enough, suffer from injuries. And obviously, especially like when you were a pro, a professional bodybuilder, that was your living. If you couldn't train, you literally were going to be out of work. And so when you did have the occasional injury, recovering from that injury was job one. Did you ever injure yourself, Dr. J?
You know, it's interesting. I never had one injury. Well, I had a few injuries during bodybuilding, but, you know, no matter what sport you're in, but over the course of my career of different athletics, yeah, I've had some injuries. The only thing I ever happened during my bodybuilding career was there was a point where I started running. Now, I never ran, other than when I played football and basketball. And, you know, carrying a heavy weight, I didn't have good shoes, and I got, what do they call, like bone spurs?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And they're quite painful, so I had to figure out how to recover from that. But, no, I didn't have any problems during my bodybuilding. I was really lucky. You know, prior to that, during powerlifting, you know, I had back issues. I had cracked sternums and concussions and, you know, ankle injuries. And I think as an athlete, you know, whether you're in high school or you're doing it for a living, you know, you don't want to be on the sidelines because it's so competitive. So I had to develop a way to get my body healed and get me back into the game. And it's interesting because what I learned in high school carried all the way through. So even bodybuilding, I didn't have any serious injuries, Carl. You know, you always had those little minor aches and pains, but I knew what to do and how to get back in the gym, so I never missed a workout.
Do you subscribe to the whole rice, rest, ice, compression, elevation theory, like when you do have an injury?
No, my theory is, I call it the hot, cold, rest theory, you know, and there's, you know, when you look at sports medicine, you know, they've got their own theory and their own diagnostic, but I only know what works for me, you know, and, you know, obviously one of the things people hear about, and it's one of the things that they do the least amount is ice. Now, if you're a collegiate athlete and you have a trainer who's monitoring your injuries, that's the first thing you're going to do. So that's kind of what I wanted to lead into is when you get an injury, you need to ice it right away. And people don't like to ice because it actually feels worse. You know, if you've ever had an injury, you put ice on it, you take it off, it's worse than what it was before you started. But you got to remember, ice lowers that inflammation, and that's what you're trying to get rid of. The quicker you can get rid of that inflammation, you know, again, the faster you're going to recover. So ice in the first, you know, 48 hours is crucial, very crucial. Do you like the ice?
Yes. You know, I am a disciple of the thoroughbred racehorse industry. When I dropped out of high school, I went to work at the racetrack. I worked there for several years, almost 5 years, before going back to college. And I saw the magic of ice, you know, there are extremes. How long you apply the ice is critical, because if you if you apply it too long, you can have a reduction in vascularization, and actually you can harm yourself with too long. So what do you think? How long? So, and I love the idea what you just said. Applying hot and cold actually kind of causes reperfusion, if you will, right? It actually causes the tissue to pump blood in and pump blood out and pump blood in and pump blood out, which helps metabolic waste be removed from the area. But so how long do you think you should apply ice for before removing it and then reapplying it when again?
So first of all, you know, ice is not, you know, getting those little sissy blue packs that, you know, they're not even as cold as your refrigerator. I'm talking about, let's say you injured your ankle or something lower. Get a bucket of ice water as cold as it can be. If you have a wrist or an elbow, again, you know, just get pure ice. They tell you at the doctor, don't put it directly on the skin. No, it's got to be cold. You know, this is kind of the whole theory behind the cryogenics. It's got to be cold, but you only leave it on for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes max. Because like what you said, what happens if you leave it on longer is something called the Hunting reaction. And this is when the blood vessels actually expand and it creates more inflammation. So icing too long is counterproductive. So 15 to 20 minutes as cold as you can stand, take it off, and then 20 minutes later you can reapply it. So I normally do most of my icing at night. So while you're sitting watching the TV, you're working, you know, you ice, take it off, ice, take it off. First thing in the morning, you know, ice before you go to work. If it's a serious enough injury, you know, get you some of those real cold packs, put them in your work freezer, and I'll ice during work. But again, you know, the whole thing is you want to get back in the gym. You want to get back at it, especially if this is your job. You know, you sit on the sidelines, you know, you're losing time. You're losing money. So the quicker you can recover, the quicker you get back in. So after a couple days of icing, this is where I think the hot cold is really important. I can remember Carl in high school learning this, where I had sprained my ankle several times, and they were really bad. It was to the point where I couldn't even walk. And, you know, doctors, oh, you're done with the season. Me, no way. I remember one time in football spraining it in practice on a Monday, and they said I was out for the season. I was playing that Friday. Ice cold, ice hot, ice hot. And the hot part is, like you said, it gets the blood flowing. So, you know, you've kind of froze it now. It's cold. You get the heat on there. You get that blood pumping, the nutrients, you know, red blood cells, white blood cells, everything is going to that area. And then you freeze it again. You only need to do that one time a night, or, you know, two times. Because it's tough for people to actually, you know, get in the shower or do something hot. You know, if again, if you're a collegiate athlete where you have a whirlpool, you know, you can do it that cycle two times, where you do ice, then you do hot, then you come back to ice, hot. But at night, I'll ice, and then I'll rest, I'll ice again, and then I'll go get in a hot shower. You know, if it's something I could put the shower on, or I'll fill the bathtub up. And just soak the whole body, you know, unless it's, you know, like an ankle or a calf or something.
You know, it's interesting. They have these things called hydroculators. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but you wet them. It's like a flexible material, but it has some sort of I don't know what's in it. And you wet it, and then you put it in the microwave.
Microwave. Yep.
And I mean, and it gets hot and it stays hot for a very, very long time. And it's, and because it's like a cloth almost, you can wrap it around an ankle, wrap it around an arm, or lay it flat. Would you use that for the heat, or would you use an electric heating pad? That's another good choice, right?
You can use anything. You know, it really depends on where the injury is, because, you know, as we get older, most of my injuries have been lower back, you know, ribs. I have ribs that go out quite often in my, tore my upper back, neck area. So for me, it's easier to get into a whirlpool, or a whirlpool sauna or a shower. But absolutely, you know, for some of the elbow injuries or kind of the tendonitis that takes forever. You know, you don't want to get in a shower and put heat on your forearms. Those hot packs are great, or a heating pad, anything that applies heat that is going to get that blood circulating, you can use. So you can be as creative as you want. The main thing is getting after it. You know, don't let it go for 2, 3, 4 days, because, again, as that inflammation starts to build up, the longer it's sitting there, the more damage that it's going to cause. So you want to get rid of that inflammation as quickly as possible.
How many times a day would you do this oscillating ice heat therapy? And would you always go ice first and heat second, or would you ever go the opposite way?
Nope, I always like the ice first. I don't know why, but that's just kind of my, again, you know, I want to get it cold, I want to freeze it. And even the cryogenics, that's kind of the principle behind that. If you're familiar with that, where they literally freeze it to a point of numbness, and then you get out, and then you're supposed to walk. And again, you're supposed to then heat it up and get some blood flowing. So, I mean, you could do it the other way. There is no right or wrong way. This is just, you know, Dr. J's principles that work for me. So I always ice first. I'll do the hot-cold cycle at least twice in an evening, especially, you know, by the third day, because, again, I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines or, you know, not training. So the quicker that I can get back, the better. So, you know, ice, and then I'll put some heat on it, and then I'll at least ice it one more time. And that's usually like a night cycle. The rest of the time I'm usually icing because, you know, again, when you're working, it's not as convenient to do the hot as it is to get some ice on it.
Also, if you're using a plastic bag with ice cubes in it, add a little water to it because you'll find that the cold will get to the skin a lot faster. And like you said, you know, you can wrap that plastic bag in a cloth, so it's not it's not the direct contact. You're still getting the cold, but you're not getting the direct contact of the ice cubes in the plastic bag, which can actually kind of burn the skin a little bit if you're not careful.
Yeah, right? If you're not used, you know, if you've never done it before, again, for me, I just pop it right on there. My skin is, I don't know, maybe it's tough, maybe it's because we're Italians. I get an ace wrap, and I just, you know, if it's an elbow or a knee, I mean, I just wrap it on there, so, you know, I don't have to sit there and hold it. Again, you want to get it on the spot. So, you know, you have to use the right size ice bag and then use enough ice. Don't put one or two cubes. Again, the whole idea is that you get it to the point where it's almost numb.
Right.
That's how cold it really needs to be. You know, having it less really doesn't benefit all that much. You know these blue bags and things that they're only cold for a couple, 2, 3 minutes. You might as well use tap water, you know.
Yeah. Well, you think there's any topicals that would be applicable to this type of a situation, especially if you're looking for hot and cold? Do things like Icy Hot or those you know, those kind of things work?
That's actually what I use for my heat. So I do like the Icy Hot. The patches are really nice, especially, you know, if you've got like a lower back, something that's really hindering you. I had a point where my I forget the name of the bone on the side the hip bone comes into the backbone, went out. And it was really painful where it was tough walking. So I would slap a patch on there for about an hour to keep the heat, and then I would take that off and put the cold on. The patch just didn't wear off as much as putting the creams. But, you know, Bengays, I mean, all of those creams are the same. They all contain menthol, which creates heat. And again, that heat, the whole idea behind it is that it gets the blood flowing, and normally you feel better with heat. Like I said, you're going to feel much better. Cresellazine, you know, that I had developed is great because it actually goes in transdermally. So not only do you get the immediate pain relief, but you also get that getting down into that inflammation. So that's kind of my first choice. But I do like the Icy Hot patches. Those work real well.
I want to talk more, but we have to take a break. I want to talk more about cresellazine just for a second, because I feel like I need an education about it. And I think if I need an education about it, the audience does too, because I don't think I'm clear on what it actually does, because it's used for painful joints. But obviously, as you're pointing out now, it's good for injury recovery as well. So let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about cretostimogene on the other side. Stay tuned.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. This is Science for Humans. And right now we're talking about the science behind a faster recovery with Dr. Jeff Galini. So Jeff, what? I guess I'm not clear about cresolazine. What exactly is it? What does it do? Is it a anti-inflammatory agent?
Yeah, you know, first of all, Carl, I got to confess that cresolazine and other things that I develop, I develop them for myself first.
Right.
So, yeah, it is. You know, obviously, as a dietary supplement, we can't make claims. And in its cream form, it's no longer a dietary supplement, but it hasn't been given a drug number yet. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about it. But yeah, it is an anti-inflammatory. I mean, that's what you find. I've done a lot of studies and a lot of research has been published. As a matter of fact, cresolazine is at FDA for an orphan drug for the treatment of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow.
So you got to look at, you know, ibuprofen, acetamycin, these are things that we went up against. And it's all about how do you get rid of that inflammation, not just masking the pain receptors. You know, and cresolazine actually gets in, breaks it up, and gets rid of it. So when we're talking about this topical cresolazine cream, it contains some of the same components that you'll find in like a Bengay or Icy Hot. But again, mm-hmm. going back to my old days, I was a chemist long before I was a chemist. When I ran track in the spring, I hated to stretch. I mean, I stretched, but I used to take wintergreen, mix it with alcohol, with some menthol, and I made my own little concoction. Well, that's what cresolazine is. It contains the wintergreen, it contains the menthol, which heats up, gets those blood vessels flowing. Then the transdermal effect of the delivery system actually delivers that cresolazine to the spot that you apply it to. So again, you know, if you have knee pains, elbow pains, like most of us do from training, you put this on, you know, 5 minutes. I literally, as I go into the gym, I sit down, I put it on, and then I stretch and get ready to go, and the pain is gone if I have pain. And after a couple of days, the pain is gone. And if you use the oral, it will dissipate. It'll be gone.
And I was going to ask that. Should you take the oral with the topical? Because obviously the topical is going to address the acute pain. But
yeah.
But the oral is being delivered systemically, and that must have, I mean, I would imagine that has anti-inflammatory benefits to all tissue in the body.
Absolutely. It takes a couple of weeks. So, you know, again, if you have severe pain, arthritis, you know, it would be something you would need to take for some time. For me, I'll get on the cresolazine when those aches come back. And I know that that's just a buildup of inflammation. So if you know what the source of your pain is, then you know how to get rid of it. But when you have a pain and you don't understand inflammation, then you don't know what to do. I mean, I'll jump back on cresolazine, and 3-4 days sometimes is all I need it. Even a couple years ago when my back went out and it got really inflamed, you know, the doctors, they want to do surgery and all this stuff. I said, no, I already know what the problem is. I'll go to a chiropractor. I'll get put back in. I'll take care of the inflammation myself. And, you know, it took me about 2 months, but I was back at it. Haven't had another back pain since.
Now, there's another little trick that you have here, and this is what you like to call your hot-cold Epsom salt treatment. What is that?
So, you know, we've talked about Epsom salts before. Epsom salts is great because it draws out. So I found that if you have, again, a serious injury, a sprain, a bruise, Epsom salt bath is incredible for promoting the healing. So during my hot phase, I would add Epsom salts. So again, you know, if it was a wrist, I would get hot water, Epsom salts in a bucket, stick my wrist down in there, or my elbow, you know, or if it was something further up, I just put it in the bathtub and soak the whole body, you know. But it really does help to draw, and again, you'll find that any type of inflammation that it can get at, it really helps to increase that recovery. And it's a cheap thing. So many people, since we've talked about Epsom salts, have emailed me saying, man, I've tried that, and boy, that stuff is really good. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's really underrated, you know.
So when I worked on the racetrack, one of the things that we used to do is make something called a poultice.
Uh-huh.
And a poultice was generally had a base of buoy clay, which was basically a very, very fine mud. You know, you added water to it. And then we would pour Epsom salt granules in there and mix that up. And so that so you had a very, very high concentration of Epsom salt in the clay. And then you would paint that onto a horse's shin. Let's say a horse had sore shins. You would paint that on, and then you'd wrap it with plastic wrap. And then you'd put a bandage over it. And you would leave that on overnight, generally. And it's amazing. So when a horse would start to get bucked shins, which is what they call them, the shins actually start to grow round. You can feel the heat. If you run your hand down them, you can feel the heat. A lot of the old grooms used to call it fever. And you could feel the heat radiating out of the cannon bone that was getting ready to buck. And after one night of a buoy clay Epsom salt poultice, the next morning the shin would be cool. And it was amazing how, you know, and I don't know the scientific reason for this. Some of the old grooms used to say it draws, you know, stuff out of the bone. Some of them just said, well, no, it's the cold compress effect of it. But it wasn't that cold. It wasn't any colder than the ambient temperature around it. Something about the clay, keeping the Epsom salt in close proximity to that leg for 24 hours at a time was just like magic.
That magnesium, you know, that's in there, it's a magnesium sulfate. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, you think about these horses. This is a millions and millions of dollars of business. I mean, those horses alone are multi-million dollars.
Right.
They know all the secrets because they've got a big investment. So, again, you know, we learned those things because, again, we had racetracks, dog tracks. I mean, you know, this is the grandma's cure-all, and it works. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, that, you know, again, that's probably as important or more important is you got to rest. I mean, take it easy when you injure something because, again, if you get back at it too fast, you re-injure it, it could take twice the amount of time. You know, stay positive. I mean, there's nothing you can do about an injury. Kind of change your focus. I mean, you know, don't just quit training because, you know, you hurt your elbow. You work around it. I mean, you do things that you can do. You can still do cardio. You can still do legs. You can, you know, do things that don't bother you. And just go light until you have fully recovered and then ease back into it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Anything we want to mention before we end the interview? Anything exciting?
Yeah, I always got stuff excited, man. I'm just always excited. You know, I think the biggest excitement is always with EFX Sports, Carl. But Supplement Santa, you know, coming up November 16th. So if you are not following me on Facebook, Dr. Jeff Galini, you need to first do that. Carl gave me the name Supplement Santa, and now Supplement Santa has gone crazy. Last month was over $800 in cash and prizes. Who doesn't want to win? This month it's going to be $1,000, and instead of one grand prize winner, there's going to be one grand prize and then two other winners, and then there'll be like 11 stocking stuffing stuff for winners. And you don't have to do anything. You don't need to give anything. All you need to do is log on to the live Facebook feed, like it, share it, and comment why you think you should win. November 16th at 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, that's 6 o'clock California time and 9 o'clock New York time. And we just have a lot of fun.
Awesome stuff. And I know so many people are excited about it. I see posts on Facebook all the time by the winners. It's really cool what you're doing. Really, really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, man. I'm just blessed that I'm able to do it. So, you know, it's just a way of, again, saying thank you to everybody because we have so many loyal supporters. And, you know, this day and age, I think people and companies, we forget how to thank the consumer, how to thank you for supporting. You know, we always want you to buy our products. So this is a way of saying thank you and having some fun. And it's completely family friendly, so you don't have to worry about if your kids want to log on or your wife. We just have fun.
Yeah, very, very cool. Thanks so much, Dr. J.
All right, brother. I'm going to catch you in a week, man.
Yeah.
We're going to be having some steak and live from Montana.
And training together. I like training
together. Yes. That's good. Yes.
All right, listen, I'll talk to you later, brother.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a Boston University study that looked at the influence by soda companies who support financially health agencies and the changes or outcomes in the messages of those health agencies. Stay tuned. Just to know your name, 17 tracks, and I'm at it with this game.
properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I know you want me, baby. I think I
welcome
want
back.
You too.
I think I love you, baby. You know, many of us are critical thinkers, and whenever we see research, you know, we always want to know, well, who funded that research? Because we feel like whoever funded the research has some sort of influence. If not influence over the outcome, they could suppress things that don't work in their favor. Because let's be honest, what organization, what industry is going to do something that's not in their best interest? And a lot of times I've seen discussions on Facebook, my Facebook wall, where people will point out something that looks like an absurdity. They'll say, gee, why is the American Diabetic Association recommending consumption of foods that we know are not good for diabetics? And then we see, oh, well, wait, they're funded by Coca-Cola and things like that. But does that really, really, really play a role in the messages of some of these health groups? My next guest has formulated a scientific opinion on it as one of the authors of a study published by Boston University that looked at how soda company sponsorships of health groups influence their message. And that is Daniel Aaron. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you very much, Carl.
So did you have the same questions that I kind of alluded to here? Is that why you felt compelled to do this study?
Of course, there are all sorts of things we see in the media and on Facebook about sponsorships and about these organizations kind of supporting things that you wouldn't expect them to support. For us personally, me and the other author, we just noticed that there were a few of these sponsorships just in various records and publications. And we wondered, you know, how often does this happen? How many organizations are accepting money? You know, what is the scope of this issue? So that's kind of how we started studying it and collecting all of these different organizations.
And the other author is Dr. Michael Siegel, is that correct?
Yeah, and he's here as well.
Yeah, so we want to go ahead and give him a plug too. So how did you design this study? How do you create a study to look at this type of stuff?
Sure. Well, we began with just these anecdotal examples of sponsorships, and then we wanted to expand it to a pretty comprehensive list. So to do that, we used internet searches and in a very systematic way to identify these organizations. Most of them have sponsorship pages, so you can kind of just go online. Any people listening to this right now can just go check and, most of these organizations still accept this money, so you can just see it right there. So we kind of assembled all these organizations into a table. And that was kind of the first part of the study, just looking at the scope of these sponsorships.
So once you've assembled these examples of sponsorship, how do you go about determining whether or not they're actually influencing the messages by these health organizations, if you will?
Right. So that's a really difficult challenge because, taking money from a soda company is one thing, but how do you prove causality that it's because of the receiving this money that these organizations are taking a certain action or voicing a certain opinion? The main method that we have is using kind of a temporal connection where we see money start to be accepted by an organization and then they change their message. And there aren't many of these examples, but journalists have kind of documented in some news articles. For example, Save the Children accepted millions of dollars, and then they changed their stance on soda taxes and stopped supporting them around the country.
Interesting.
Even though they were a huge advocate of soda taxes before they accepted money from soda companies. So the temporal connection kind of, indicates that it's probably due to the money.
It's really sad, and this plays into research as well, scientific research as well. We know, everybody says, well, somebody's got to fund these studies. Of course, it's the companies that stand to benefit from their outcomes. And when you look at the science, a lot of times you go, well, the science is valid. It's reproducible. It's peer reviewed. So just because this company funded that study doesn't mean that it's tainted. Sometimes what happens in research is results is withheld. We've learned this, one of the things that I'd like to see is research that's funded by tax dollars through the National Institutes of Health and stuff like that, that they publish everything, not just the stuff they want to.
Yeah.
If we as taxpayers paid for that study, and its study has been completed, don't suppress the results. Publish it, because even if it doesn't favor, the common wisdom about that particular thing right now. And that's another thing. I think there's lying by way of omission as well as, because we know on this show for 11 years I've been doing the show, we know that changing the endpoints can skew a study, So it's just... But this is really interesting because now we have organizations that are positioned as delivering messages about health, who are taking money from soda companies. We know that soda, I mean, okay, is soda the reason for obesity today? Probably not. But is it one of the contenders? Absolutely. You know, so it's interesting. So did you find any specific, other than Save the Children, did you find any other clear, you know, correlates between some of these organizations and their position about soda?
Well, there were a number of organizations that you'd expect to have a certain position on an issue, and they accept soda company money, and then they have the complete opposite position.
So you can actually can delineate when their message changed and when the money was started to flow. You can actually see that, like with Save the Children?
Oh, no, that's a very challenging thing to prove 100% that the money was there and the action was taken. But we do know that actions were taken when these organizations were receiving money.
Yeah.
And, you know, why would the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics oppose a law that's helping to reduce soda consumption? It just doesn't really make sense unless it's due to the money that they're receiving from soda companies.
Well, I gotta tell you something. I know that soda is really garbage. It's really garbage, and way too many people in our population drink way too much of it. There's no doubt about it that we would all be better off if fewer people drank less and less soda, if not any at all. With that being said, I am not a proponent of taxing things in order to influence high-risk behavior. We've seen that it doesn't work with tobacco. In fact, I've had this discussion on the show over the years. If you look at what tobacco tax money buys, it buys golf carts and dump trucks for cities. It repaves roads. It doesn't go to what it should be going. Like, I think the average American thinks, well, if they're taxing tobacco, they're using those tax dollars to A, offset the cost of caring for people who get sick from this high-risk behavior, and B, trying to influence new smokers not to smoke. And that's the least of what tax dollars from tobacco go to, the least. So I'm not a proponent that you can tax away high-risk behavior. Now, I would say...
Can I just say something about that before we move to another point?
Please.
So I think that we've skipped a step here. So, you know, you were saying that there are funds created by taxes that are misused. I'm not sure I agree with that really, but even so, before we even think about that money, we have to think about supply and demand. When we change the price of a product, the amount that product is bought is going to decrease. And so regardless of where this money is going, which is an important consideration, mm-hmm. we are going to reduce cigarette consumption if we increase the price through taxes. And this has been shown. So, again, before we even think about where the money is going, we are reducing cigarette consumption and directly improving health through taxation. It's also a great method because you're not actually changing people's ability to buy cigarettes. If they want them, they can buy them. It's just more expensive. Mm-hmm. So you're preserving the choice there, but you're just levying a tax to make one choice a little bit more costly.
Okay.
So I think we have to consider that when we think about taxes on goods.
Okay. Okay. So with that being said, we have to take a break. We have to take a break. I want to do when we come back is I want to talk about the specific organizations that you were able to see clear evidence of or even possible evidence of them changing their message in a different direction. And then we'll talk about what the summary message of this research is when we come back. Stay tuned.
Legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. In the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit ironmaglabs.com. ironmaglabs.com.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Listen up, y'all. Welcome back. We're talking with Daniel Aaron from Boston University about a study that was just published looking at soda company sponsorships of health groups and what influence that may have on their messages. So were there any others that kind of jumped out at you, like, wow, this really doesn't make sense?
In terms of the organizations, yeah. I mean, there are two diabetes organizations. Very surprising.
That's a shocker to me. I mean, it's just that one just baffles me.
Right. Well, interestingly, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation issued a response to our article saying that they deal with type 1 diabetes and not type 2, so it's okay that they accept this money, which sounds ridiculous, because if they're trying to, you know, fight one type of diabetes, why are they kind of assisting with, you know, another kind of diabetes?
Well, and if you look at okay, so a type 1 diabetic, you know, complete failure of the pancreas to produce insulin, this person is insulin dependent. We know that carb load in the diet influences how much insulin they actually have to use. And if you reduce sugar intake, they use less insulin. We know the less insulin they use, the less wear and tear on their body. So I would be like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that response kind of baffled me. Also, the number of governmental organizations on here was surprising. The Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, very surprising. All these medical organizations,
that, you know, I don't think that a lot of people know about these organizations if they're outside of the medical field, but they're huge. Like the American Academy of Pediatrics is a huge group of pediatricians, and they were accepting money from Coca-Cola, so I mean, it's pretty shocking.
I wonder if the pediatricians get to vote on who the American, you know, Pediatrics Association gets to. I got to believe that's a top-down type of thing. I can't believe that most pediatricians who actually work with children with the rate of childhood obesity today are cool with soda and recommend soda, yet their organization is cool with it.
Well, part of it may be that there's been this ongoing relationship that's kind of normalized soda as far as these pediatricians. And the other thing is there are a lot of these pediatricians who were against it, which is likely why the AAP stopped taking money from Coca-Cola about a year ago. So that's good news. But they were accepting money from Coca-Cola for a while, so still alarming.
You know, the analogy I used to give on the show years ago when these types of questionable relationships occurred, I would say, well, what if a large percentage of law enforcement officers in your city actually got their money that they used to pay payroll from the crack dealers? How quickly would the police be willing to put the crack dealers out of business, assuming that they were going to impact their own availability to be paid? And it's really baffling to me how these organizations can justify taking money from industries that, and I get it. I get it, Daniel. Well, if you have one soda on occasion, it's not going to hurt anything. And that's probably true. Just like if you have one glass of wine a month, it's probably not going to hurt you. But the problem is that we see people who consume soda daily, multiple times a day, in very, very large quantities. And that is more the norm than the exception.
Yeah, absolutely. The average American drinks a huge amount of soda. I think it's something like 46 gallons per year.
Oh.
So clearly a huge issue.
Do you see these
organizations? You know, I think it's a huge conflict of interest. I think that these organizations should be supporting public health.
Yes.
And they're taking this money, and we have some clear-cut examples of these organizations opposing health legislation. And furthermore, a lot of these organizations are silent when it comes to these pieces of legislation coming forward. So even if we can't show a direct causation, there's silence there, you know.
So you can't really outlaw these organizations from taking money. You can't sit and draw a line and say, well, these are the industries that you can take money from, and these are the industries you can't. But I got to believe that studies like yours, the work that you and Dr. Siegel have done, kind of shine a light on them and have to make them.
Right.
Kind of feel bad about their decisions, because all of a sudden now it's out there and people are looking, going, oh my gosh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, this has been in the news. Reporters have gone to some of these organizations and questioned them on why they're accepting this money. And furthermore, the second part of the paper kind of shows what these soda companies really care about, which is opposing public health.
Right.
By opposing public health legislation. So the intent of these soda companies kind of shines light on the effects of taking this money, because this is money coming from soda companies that oppose health legislation and oppose public health. So when they accept this money, it becomes all the more kind of nefarious and problematic.
Any of the health organizations that you reviewed, any of them specifically in the category of cancer, only because of what we now know about the role of glucose and insulin on both the metastatic process and development of cancer, and the emerging research on things like ketogenic diet actually reversing cancer, we would say that if you've got cancer, you shouldn't be consuming anything that is a sugar-based product. Any of those organizations, like the Susan B. Komen Foundation, taking money from Big Soda?
Yeah, the Susan B. Komen Foundation does take money. The American Cancer Association, I believe, as well. The Pink Ribbon Story Foundation is a breast cancer foundation. They take money from Coca-Cola.
That really infuriates me, because we know now that while a small percentage of cancers can actually run on glutamine and pyruvate, the majority of cancers require blood sugar levels to be high in order for the anaerobic respiration process that occurs in these mutant mitochondria to not only survive but proliferate. And if you suppress the high glycemic index carbohydrate consumption by cancer patients, they fare better even as an adjunct to the standard of care. I mean, we did a show probably 5-6 years ago that showed that individuals who both went for either chemo or radiation or both, but were sent home to eat the diet they ate before or sent home and ate a ketogenic diet, that the recidivism rate in those getting the ketogenic diet was much, much lower as far as them getting cancer again. So to me, that is just, I'm not a religious person, but that's a sin. Like, that's like, where's karma? You know, it's like, how can you take money from Big Soda when it's Big Soda that could be contributing to the growth of some of these cancers?
Well, you know, I hadn't read any of that research. I'm definitely going to read up on it now because that's very interesting. And also all the more reason for this conflict of interest and for these organizations to stop taking this money.
Yeah, I commend you. So I have to believe there's been some real pushback. Anytime you do this type of publishing of research that kind of goes against the grain of a large industry, there's pushback to discredit the research. Has that happened at all?
Not directly to us, but there have been a few statements, you know, saying that, saying reasons why it's okay for these organizations to take money, or why it's okay for soda companies to give this money. So that there are some statements like that online. Nothing huge, though.
So what do you hope? I was going to ask you, what do you hope the public takes away from this? But more importantly, and in concert with, what do you hope the directors of organizations whose position it is to give health guidance and information out there, what do they take away from their own moral constructs? What's the message here?
All right. So to start with the health organizations, I think that we've shown in the paper that they maybe shouldn't be taking this money, because the money is from soda companies that oppose public health legislation. So we're kind of highlighting how big this conflict of interest is and how many organizations are doing it to kind of make it super clear that this is a problem. So these organizations should take a huge lesson from our paper. As far as people in the community, I think that we should remember that this issue exists, and we should write, you know, if we're a part of any of these organizations, we can start initiatives to, divest from these sources of funding. Furthermore, if we're not, we can still talk with friends, talk with peers about the issue and make it well known. Because, you know, when you look at a bottle of Coke, you see like a drink. But maybe we should see more, think more about what's really going on behind the scenes to get that Coke onto the shelf and to keep it at that price, because a lot of dark things are going on. A lot of health organizations are being bought out for that Coke to be there at that price.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you something else, that kind of a grassroots approach, the average person out there. If you apply critical thinking and you see an organization who's positioned to deliver messages about health that is taking money from an industry that you know is counter to that health message, then you should take all of their advice with a grain of salt. Because if they lose their credibility in the quote-unquote members that they serve in their eyes, and their message becomes watered down, then they have no impact any longer. And now they have become a lame duck organization whose message is meaningless, and that will destroy them. So I think people need to also be aware. Look at the organizations that you take your information from and find out who their sponsors are. And if those sponsors are industries that you know, like that they shouldn't be there, then discount anything they tell you. Just discount it. Start with that. Because if you can do that, you take power away from them, they're failing. They're not going to be around very long. So
right. I think you need to find unbiased sources to get your information about health.
Yes.
If you look at, like, there are a lot of websites online that you can find that are constructed by various companies to spread their message.
Yep.
But what you really want is an objective source to get your information from, and I think that's extremely important, especially for something like diet, which has been controversial for the past 30 years, you know, with a lot of misinformation and confusing studies. I think it's really important to find a good nutrition source.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Daniel, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carl.
And I commend you and Dr. Siegel. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. So I really do stand corrected. Well, not so much corrected. Let me. Daniel Aaron said, you know, that the cigarette tax definitely helps, and it does. I was looking at the statistics. Some interesting facts I wasn't aware of. The first tobacco use excise tax was actually proposed by Alexander Hamilton in the late 1700s. And it wasn't adopted until about 1862 by U.S. Congress. But it wasn't ratified by states until much later, which meant that some states charged a tax and some didn't. And I remember this when I was a kid in the 60s. People used to drive from New York south, I don't know, like South Carolina, a place like that, to buy cigarettes that they would sell on the streets in New York, and they didn't have a tax stamp. And stores that would buy them would get them a lot cheaper, make more profit. But then, you know, I guess maybe the feds or somebody would come in and bust them. Maybe it was New York State, actually, because they were selling cigarettes without a tax stamp, which was like a little kind of thing on the top of the package that had a number on it and an emblem and all that sort of stuff. So cigarette taxes have been around for a long time. However, they were not really punitive, if you will, for lack of better terms, until 1965, when the then Surgeon General made the statement that, hey, you know, they cause cancer. And from 1965 forward, if you look at the trends, clearly, if it wasn't the tax, it could have been the awareness of the harmful nature of tobacco. But from 1965, 42% of adults smoked cigarettes, half the population of the United States nearly, compared to today, 12% of adults. So clearly, the trend for tobacco has dropped dramatically. Has it all been from the tax? I don't know. But what I would like to see is for someone to step up and go, look, because we talked about this on the show not too long ago, and it's a fact. I have a list of cities. It shows what they're doing with the tax dollars that they're getting from tobacco tax. The smallest percentage of the money is being spent on advertisements and outreach programs to keep people from smoking or from new smokers. Most of the money is being used for municipal purposes. One city bought a bunch of golf carts with it that they said they needed for some special events. So what I'd really love to see is for the tax dollars that are weighted on tobacco to be used exclusively as an anti-tobacco use funding source and not be going to buy golf carts and dump trucks, which another city used their money for, or pave roads, which another city used their money for. I think that if you're going to collect tax on a soda, I got no problem with a soda tax, as long as 90% of that money is spent so that you can go out into the community with outreach and message to say why it's no good to drink soda and keep people from drinking more soda. I'm all for a tax then like that. What I'm not for is that tax, you know, some small percentage of the tax being used for what we would imagine logically intended, which was to curtail soda consumption and then using the majority of the money for other things, you know, paving roads and special events for a city and stuff like that. So I have no problem with the soda tax. I think it's great. I don't drink soda. I think if you can deter people from drinking soda because it's become more expensive, that's great. Just use the tax dollars to fit the mission. And that would be a sensible approach, I think. Anyway, want to thank Dr. Jeff Galini. Also, if you want to check out Cresellazine, send them an email. Go to supiumradio.com, click the Ask the Scientist banner ad, and ask Dr. J for some Cresellazine if you have some injuries that have been nagging you for a long time, and see how it works for you. And we will see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio, and thank you so much for listening today.